From national news in D.C.
to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol,
this is your Capitol Connection.
And now, bringing the Capitol to you,
here's your host, Nate Graz.
And welcome to the program. We are broadcasting today from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, where we are working every day to advance family, freedom, and life, and to keep you informed on the biggest news in government, policy, and culture from a biblical perspective. And today's show is going to be, I think, one of the most important that we've ever done, because today we're going to be joined by a very special guest. We have a former abortionist and medical director of Planned Parenthood joining us on the program today to talk about abortion and share her story of transitioning from an abortion provider to now one of the most important pro-life voices in the entire country. It's the most inspiring and impactful story that I've had the pleasure of getting to share on the program. And this is a really important time to be talking about this issue, because this past week we saw a committee hearing in Washington, D.C. in the United States Senate Judiciary Committee on Senator Ben Sasse's Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. This is a bill that needs to pass into law, and having this committee hearing was a critical step forward. And locally, last week, our own legislature got to hear a bill that would prohibit the practice of dismembering living preborn children. I'm extremely honored to be joined now on the program by Dr. Kathy Altman. Dr. Altman is an OBGYN with over 35 years of experience, a fellow of the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and a former abortionist and medical director for Planned Parenthood. Her experiences doing abortions have led her to a pro-life position, and she has testified extensively on a variety of pro-life issues before state and congressional bodies. She spoke at the 2019 National March for Life and joins us now on Capitol Connection. Dr. Altman, thank you for being with us on the program today. Dr. Altman, I'd love just to start our conversation today by letting you share about some of your background and your experience as an OBGYN and as a former abortion provider.
Well, when I went to medical school and residency, I was extremely pro-abortion. I felt that abortion was a woman's right. When I went to medical school and entered my residency program, I believed that abortion was a woman's right. And I was very gung-ho about learning how to do abortions. Our program taught the DNC with suction technique. But I actually sought out one of the attendings who was doing later term abortions, D&E abortions or dismemberment abortions, and did a preceptorship with him so that I could learn to do that procedure, because I really wanted to help women and I felt that was the best way I could help them.
And I think that, you know, I just admire so much that your courage now to share about your story and your testimony and your experiences as a physician, as an OBGYN, and as an abortion provider. And I'd love for you to get to share what transpired in your life to lead you to move from, as you described, being, you know, very passionate about access to abortion and what you believed was helping women, to now being a pro-life advocate.
Mm-hmm. To give you a little background, in my medical training, I was taught how to compartmentalize. Physicians have to do procedures that are painful to patients, and so we learn how to set that aside somehow so that we can do things to help people. The same thing was true of abortion. I did not consider the human fetus any different than a chick embryo that I dissected in college. And I had no sense of conscience or remorse in doing abortions because I didn't really see them as little people. It was interesting that I had the same reaction to fetal parts that Abby Johnson did. Instead of being repulsed by them. I was fascinated by them, little fingers and toes and the perfect little organs. And we had to send samples to pathology, and then we would review the slides. So I would send lots of samples of different organs so I could get to see what everything looked like on a microscopic level. So, you know, most people would find that really gruesome, but to me it was, I looked at the fetus after an abortion as basically just a medical tissue. I didn't see it as being a person or a baby.
And so I think that's, you know, I think that's where a lot of people are. They either feel very strongly that the unborn are not human and abortion is simply removing tissue. And on the other side, people believe very strongly that this is a human life deserving and worthy of protection. How were you able to make, I think as you described, that fetal baby connection? What kind of moved you away from providing abortions to saying, no, this is a human life that we should be protecting?
I felt so strongly about the right to abortion that I even continued to do abortions when I was pregnant. As a matter of fact, I got a job moonlighting to make extra money, and I chose to do it doing abortions. And I felt that my baby was wanted and their baby was not, and so I felt perfectly comfortable taking care of their problem. The problem came after I delivered my baby, and I think somehow made that baby fetus connection, so that when I went back to the clinic, I reacted differently. And there were three patients that really changed my mind. The first patient was using abortion as birth control. And in looking at her chart, I realized that I had personally done three abortions on her. I went to the clinic manager and said, hey, I don't want to do this. She's using it as birth control. I don't think this is right. And she said, that's her right. You don't have any right to deny her. And I looked at her and I said, that's fine for you to say, you're not the one doing the killing. So I did the abortion and, of course, offered her birth control, and she declined. The second patient came in with a friend, and the friend asked her after the procedure was over if she wanted to see the tissue, and she looked at her and said, no, I just want to kill it. And I thought, what did this baby ever do to you? Now, something must have changed in my mind, because I never thought of the fetus as a baby before when it was singled out for abortion. The next patient was a mother of four. She and her husband had decided they couldn't afford to have another child, and so they had decided on abortion. She cried the entire time she was there. And after finishing that abortion, I could no longer stomach doing abortions. The fact that the baby was unwanted was no longer enough for me to justify killing it, and so I couldn't do them anymore. The problem was that I still believed that abortion was a woman's right, a necessary evil, and I continued to refer for abortions. This attitude continued even after I became a Christian several years later. What did start to change my mind was the fact that I saw young women in my practice who had unplanned pregnancies, kept their babies, and did extremely well. And then I had other patients who were very educated, but made the decision to have an abortion, but afterwards were suffering from either the physical or psychological complications from abortion. I had one young woman tell me that when she realized she was pregnant, her knee-jerk reaction was to have an abortion because she was on a career path, and it wasn't convenient to be pregnant right then. But after she had the abortion, the fact that she had killed her baby was far more devastating than finding out she was pregnant. And she was seeing a psychiatrist to try to deal with the emotional turmoil that that had stirred up. I had another patient who had had an induction abortion at about 20 plus weeks. And after being in labor basically all night, they had her sit on the toilet and push the next morning. And she delivered this 20 plus week baby into the toilet where it drowned. She also was seeing a psychiatrist because she couldn't get the image of that baby in the toilet out of her mind. It's easy for abortion proponents to say that abortion has very few complications and it's extremely safe, but we really don't know how safe these procedures are because of the lack of reporting in many, many states. The next thing that began to chip away at my sort of pro-abortion feminist armor was watching children grow up in my church whose mothers could have had them aborted. They were unplanned pregnancies. One actually was a Down syndrome baby. But I watched these beautiful kids grow up and grow into these wonderful young people, and I couldn't help but think that they wouldn't be there if their parents had chosen to abort them. The thing that finally changed my opinion came later, after I had been accepted by a group of Christian friends who accepted me even though I had this pro-abortion position. After I had known them a while and trusted them, one of them was brave enough to say, "Kathy, I know you feel strongly about abortion, but would you read this article?" And it was an article that compared abortion to the Holocaust. My dad was with the unit that liberated the first concentration camp in World War II. And so I grew up with all the stories and pictures. When I became a doctor, I couldn't understand how the German physicians had done what they did. But as I read that article, I understood, because just as I did not see the fetus as a human being, they did not see their victims as human beings. And so we felt justified in doing what we did. That was the first time I saw myself as a mass murderer. It was right at that time that Ted Bundy was in the news for his mass murders. And I thought, oh my gosh, I've killed a lot more people than he has. It took a lot of prayer and counseling for me to get over that realization.
You know, we serve a merciful and powerful God. And I know myself and our team and so many other people are incredibly inspired by your boldness and sharing your story. And I think it's not only inspiring, but it's changing hearts and minds. And it's being used to make a huge difference across the country on this issue. And you were kind enough to come to Nebraska this week to help educate our own state senators here on a very important bill that was heard in the Judiciary Committee this week. It's LB 814 that would prohibit the practice of live dismemberment abortions. And Dr. Altman, you provided testimony in support of this bill. What takes place during a dismemberment abortion, and why did you testify in support of this bill?
Well, I testified in support of this bill because it's pro-woman, pro-medical staff, and pro-baby. This bill in no way limits access to abortion. It doesn't even prohibit dismemberment abortions. All it does is prevent it from being done on live babies. And basically, there is no reason to have to do this procedure on a live baby, unless you want the fetal organs or fetal tissue. There is no other reason to do it on a living baby.
So, you know, it's almost hard to wrap our heads around this, because there was a lot of opposition to this bill, and we heard arguments that this is restricting access to abortion and this is anti-woman. But what you're saying about this bill is that it in no way limits or restricts access to abortion, because all it says is that you can't do this specific procedure of dismemberment abortion on a living preborn child. Is there any medically necessary reason why an abortionist couldn't cause fetal demise prior to the dismemberment abortion, or why they would need the child to be alive for that procedure to happen?
No, there's no medical reason. And like I said, the only reason would be if you needed fresh tissue for research or something. This is really more a humanitarian bill than actually a pro-life bill, because we're basically saying we should not treat human beings like this, and we have the means to prevent them from being torn limb from limb while they're alive. And this procedure does just that. When the abortionist does a D&E procedure, he or she basically reaches up with a clamp and starts pulling off arms and legs, whatever they can grasp, and then eventually crushing the thorax and the head, and removing the baby in pieces, which we would never allow to be done to an animal.
You know, I love hearing your heart and your passion behind this, and that you're willing to share your medical background and your experience with senators. I think so many people are just unaware that this procedure is even happening, or how it's performed, or the fact that there's simply no reason why the child would need to be alive for this procedure to be done. And so we're really encouraging people to visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org, so you can read more about this bill and learn how you can contact your senator and urge them to support this important piece of legislation.
You know, the ability to cause fetal demise is already in practice in many clinics throughout the country, because it's upsetting to women to find out afterwards, or to know that their baby is being torn limb from limb while it's alive. So this helps prevent that psychological anguish that women go through knowing that they've allowed this procedure. It also protects the nurses and techs and staff, and even the physician who's having to do this, because the normal person cannot witness this being done on a living human being and not have it affect them, even the abortionist. That's probably why there are so few abortionists willing to do them, because if you have a normal conscience, you cannot do this for very long.
So this bill it's not only protecting babies, it's also beneficial for the mental health and psychology of the mothers and even the abortion clinic staff. You know, Dr. Altman, as someone who has decades of experience as an OBGYN and experience in performing abortions, what is your message? How do you respond to legislators who continue to champion abortion as female empowerment and desire abortion to be legal through all 9 months of pregnancy?
I frankly don't understand it. So many of these bills are no-brainers. This bill, for one thing, like you said, protects women, medical staff, the babies, from unnecessary pain. Other bills, like the Born Alive Abortion Survivor Protection Act, I cannot understand why any legislator would hesitate to sign that bill. Because once a baby is born, they should be protected. And the argument that this doesn't happen is belied by the fact that there are all of these abortion survivors out there. So I guess when people become so focused on one side of the issue, they too compartmentalize, and they've somehow compartmentalized this whole idea that this fetus might be human. They've shoved that aside. As a matter of fact, the only time that I had reservations while I was doing abortions was when I realized that I was trying to save a baby the same gestational age as when I had aborted. So it's amazing how we can just pigeonhole things and shove things to the back of our minds. And I think that's what they're doing.
So, Dr. Altman, do you think, is it fair to say that there really is no longer a debate about whether or not there is life in the womb? Really, the only debate we're having is whether or not that life deserves to be protected.
That's true. From a scientific standpoint, we know that life begins at fertilization, and a unique human being is formed at that point. And so the question is does that person deserve the right to live, which is, you know, our first right guaranteed by the Constitution? But somehow we have subverted that and changed things so that we can deny this person their rights. I don't know any other circumstance other than abortion where we sanction the killing of one person to make another person's life easier.
Dr. Altman, I am so grateful for your time today and for you willing to come on the program and to talk with us about your story and share your experiences, as well for you coming to Nebraska to support our efforts here in helping pass LB 814. It's been an honor to get to have you on the program today.
Well, thank you. I've really enjoyed being here.
It's been a privilege getting to have Dr. Altman on the program with us today to share her story. And you can find more information about LB 814 in the Nebraska legislature and how you can contact senators in support of that bill. Together, we can help Nebraska be a state where every single life is cherished and protected. That's all the time we have for this week. Thanks again to our special guest today, Dr. Kathy Altman. Until next time, I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for the Nebraska Family Alliance. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.